Matt? Hello?
Hey, Max. Pleasure to be here.
You sound ecstatic.
I'm sick.
Alright, but you're going to do... Michael Jordan was sick and he scored like 60 points.
Oh, believe me. The reading hasn't begun yet.
Oh. Well, it hasn't actually, right?
No. This is the pre-reading.
Chapter...
11.
11.
Ooh. Shall we?
It's my favorite number. We shall.
Really?
It is, actually.
Alright. Hey! Hey, dumb shit! Dad called that to me. Today's the first day of the rest of your punk-ass life. Dad had a way with desperation. He didn't like all the cold goo. And besides, he just didn't like all the cold goo. Let me start it. Here comes.
Hit it.
Chapter 11. Hey! Hey, dumb shit! Dad called out to me. Today is the first day of the rest of your punk-ass life. Dad had a way with desperation. He just didn't like all the cold goo. And besides, he was so desperate himself that he once lunged at a Miss Conciliatory contest. I pushed myself back into the house, and I hit my head on a banjo that was hanging in the hallway. I could hear Dad airing out his pants. Al, march your punk ass in here. Do you know what freaking time it is? I opened my eyes, but all I could see was my desperation. I still had water on my brain, but I could now count to 7, getting stuck only for a short time at 2. But what significance was it? I can't count how many times I've had to count to 8, but if I could, it still wouldn't be very many times. To my horror, I was frothing at the eyes, and when I looked at the 9 on my watch, I didn't know which number came next, 8 or 10. Then I guess I had an idea, but I couldn't decide. Why wasn't anyone eliminating me as a suspect when I was playing with babies in the garden the whole time? No one ever takes my side. Dad could see I was upset, and he slapped me upside my head. Quit being such a pussy, Al. You're either going to be punctual, or I'm going to puncture your sciatic nerve. But Dad, I'm telling you, I was in the garden blit, I pleaded, but he wasn't listening. Look, I need you to be on time. It's very important. And that was only 1 minute until Miss Conciliatory is supposed to be here. We're going to throw darts at mental patients who think they're animals. Dad is creeping me out. I managed to say. I know you think I harass everyone. God knows your sister does. Dad was praying to Jesus that Miss Conciliatory wouldn't notice his bald spot. I had always wondered where I got my propensity to wear vests in summer and to wash my teeth in May and to think that a comet was going to hit me at any moment. But now I knew that so much of it came from my dad that I could never be a dad myself, ever. I went to the kitchen and poured myself a long, hard shot of silly string. Michelle must have been on a home visit because she appeared in front of me from nowhere like some horrible sunrise. Ready for the long day, she gorged. I was limited to a grunt. What did she say? I was used to my mom blowing chunks all over a plate of huevos revueltos, and I should have expected the same from Michelle. Last protein in the gene pool is a paraplegic celibate, I said. I knew the proteins weren't necessarily part of the gene pool, but Michelle didn't go to school today, so how should she know? She didn't know genes, let alone genetics. I want to ask you a question, Michelle surrounded me. She had my copy of Scientific Enigmerica. Let me eat first, I protested. You're not going to confuse me with your bullshit, Michelle said, pushing on more mascara. I've read every scientific journal you've ever even glanced at. Michelle had turned into a horrible library. That's awesome.
Yes.
We're going to start with the senses, the astronomical senses. Which fuel did that son of a bitch Galileo use when he tried to describe a Mentos commercial? I had no idea. Those huevos revueltos were coming back to haunt me. I was confident that if I started screaming, all my repressed anger would ante up. But it did not ante up. Let's go, Al, Dad insisted. Respect yourself. I respected my homies, I told him. I don't want to haggle or pray to God right now, you know what I'm saying? I only respect people who live in tents or who throw darts, Michelle yammered. Mom pushed her hand out from the frying pan and into the fire. She could hear flesh burning. Now she was up for 7 more courses of I Got You, Babe. Hey, those motherfuckers were supposed to be at work. I should probably give you a complete neurological workover. After all, I was the first person to see your naked butt. And I was the first to see your penis, Dad said. I had to be, because your mom wouldn't look. It was like I poured marmalade all over my toast and then I dried in a roller disco. I had to think every time I chewed food. Think. I wonder if Dad has to think every time he has to dump, takes a dump. I was getting desperate. What fuel did Galileo use? Now I'm going to take a piss, Michelle offered the gods of tension. You know, you don't have to actually see to think that you're seeing. The more Michelle had to piss, the more pissed off she became, and confused. Why didn't she just pass out? I'll pass out soon, Dad said. Dad is always intent on being surreal. But he didn't have any idea what kind of fuel Galileo had used. Galileo, that son of a bitch should have been named Ninja Tortellini. The sun is hotter today than it was in Galileo's time, Michelle said. I'm going to sing about the sun. You with me? Come on, Al. I was being a baby, holding my breath until I turned gray. But when my pallor was just starting to turn, Mom, Dad, and Michelle suddenly appeared and started punching me. Michelle shook her head as she hit me with Scientific Enigmas magazine. That bastard Galileo thought that the Earth revolved around the sun, Michelle said, pronouncing each word like she just had lent them to a Chechen. No wonder I could never understand her. She walks in and starts laying into me with Scientific Enigmas, and then the rest of my family starts throwing Pez at me. Oh, I want to take the words out of their shells and place them on paper. You think Mom and Dad are orangutans sent here to Earth by Galileo to take care of you, don't you? Michelle asked me and didn't wait for an answer. You don't even know who Mr. Gosling is, and you want orangutans to raise you? Are you blitzed? Mr. Gosling was my science teacher. Ha! Every time I listened to him, my head did a rumba. It was like listening to Michelle think out loud. Mr. Gosling, I thought, this all has to do with Mr. Gosling. What do I think it has to do with him? Not much. He's loony. He's loony like every other teacher in my school. I thought, that's it. He's loony. And I thought he was just stupid. If I could muster up some fangs, I could kill him anytime. I had to get some rest before breakfast came up and punched me in the Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. I took my plate and glass and threw them into the bathroom, but all that did was scare the cockroaches. Whenever I don't put my mess in the trash can, Mom takes a cup and pours hot coffee on me. Right when I think that everything's going perfect and none of my coupons have expired, I get a coffee pad from a cuckoo mom. Now get, she said, I got an appointment with a man in a tanning salon. The hellish glare I got from her was just what I needed, like a tripe barbecue, only better. I didn't have a menu and I wasn't stupid for my age, sex, and or gender. I looked like a reindeer in the headlights. Youch! My own fangs were about to tear my head off and leave no witnesses. Kind of like the veal platter at Leslie Scalapino's. My heart was late for this 2 o'clock beating. I had tried to get a pacemaker, but my fangs had scared the nurse into repenting of all of his sins. It's been downhill from there where I stood without a leg to stand on. Stop the tape, and you, stupid, give me a salt tablet. Every mess I make, every rose I take has been horribly planned. I couldn't plan more horribly. My hands began to tremble from the medication that was being spoon-fed to me, little by little, by the orangutans who were supposed to be caring for me. At least, I think they're orangutans, I told myself. The bastards could be polar-playing Argonauts. They could be polar-playing Argonauts who have turned into orangutans. I was going to stop the tape myself, but then I saw a cockroach on the table, trembling, and I decided that if Gummo could be the Three Stooges, so could I. I pushed the tape on again, but it wouldn't shut off, and then it told me that it was closed for repairs. After that, I had no will to live, and my fangs were so mad they ran out of my mouth and met my adenoids in the corner of the street. If my arms ran away, I give up, I said as my pineal gland pointed to the street corner. No penile activity, Michelle said, thinking she was funny, but that's your pineal gland. Mom was usually the abrasive one, and Michelle usually the abrasive-y. Like the plastic sandwich Mom served her one day that broke 29 of her teeth. No more penile action, Al. Dad took my hand. You have a very strange family, and there's no known anecdote, he said. And I nodded. For a guy covered in cold goo, he was a poor excuse for a parent. I looked into his eyes and saw terror. I looked at his paragraph and saw vultures circling. Alix and Colin were on the escalator trying to avoid the cold goo. Aren't you going to ask me about my day? Alix asked me. You stupid bastard, I said. I knew it. I knew that Alix was an asshole and an idiot, and now I had scientific evidence. I may be a pest, but you two are pricks. I said this to Colin, but I just as easily could have said it to that classless bitch, Miss Scott. Eric was there trying to open the door, and he didn't seem to have a care in the world, nor a door handle in his hand. I took a slice out of my mouth with my mom, with my mouth, with my knife. I took a slice out of his mouth with my knife, and everything turned black and white and red all over. You fucking pussy! Give me your math notes, Eric was able to say. Do you know what you just did? I was conjugating with the homies. I was the god of codfish and french fries specials. You just cut my fucking mouth like it was a dessert tray from somebody else's restaurant. Now you know what you just did? I shook my head. Why was he asking so many questions? I turned around like the parsley on the cod and fries special. You just cut my mouth like a fastball. You just signed your death certificate, Sterner, but you forgot to dot the I, Sterner. You forgot to dot the fucking I. Oh my Christ. Oh my Christ! Oh my codfish special! I didn't mean to cause you any lasting problems, I told him improvisationally. I'm just a badass pirate poet, alright? Oh, I see. Eric put his hand over his mouth. You cut me and you think you're a celebrity? I'll kick the shit out of you. What am I? Cod liver oil? You're an unequivocal ass wiper, Eric, I thought. But I couldn't see my way through the gray to say it. Eric waited for me to answer, but Miss Scott walked in. She looked around at the bloody mess. Do you have another bloody nose, Al? What? What? A bloody nose? It's going to take a mop and a lot of cod liver oil to clean this up. Yeah, and a bad case of cold goo, I heard myself telling her. I was going to sit down, but these bastards were late for class and had me singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yes, that would do it, I thought. If only I could always think so. Al Tempa cheerily. That's nice, Miss Scott murmured. Miss Scott almost slipped on the mess. I don't want to be around when she figures out this ain't a romantic comedy, Eric told me. When she wakes up from whatever she's on, you're a dead man. Nobody better fuck with me when I'm in Miss Scott's 100 Science Doing Don'ts class. Not if they don't want their posterior grammaticized. I may be limited as to what I can see and how much mess I can make and where I go, but at least I don't ask stupid questions. Eric at least doesn't ask stupid questions when he's asleep, which is most of the time. He made a teenage life of sleeping in class, making messes, and murmuring, "Die, motherfuckers," under his breath when he wakes up. He laces up his shoes as if he were a boy who has been dead for many years. And tomorrow would come and go, but tomorrow never mattered as long as dinner was served tonight. That's everything I don't believe. Who can decide what the direct object is in this phrase is? Miss Scott had eaten too many pizza pies. I couldn't look. Every muscle said she'd call me. Al? Miss Scott didn't mean Bundy. Al? Now Miss Scott was deliberately imitating Peggy Bundy. The direct object? Eric knew that rivers didn't flow backwards, so he kicked me in the shins and mouthed the word sugar with his hands. I started to gag and he punched on my Heimlich. Then I knew I was hearing God's holy choir, or at least a group of people with altered voices. Participants in the science cursing competition, please get your dumbasses to the library, the secretary of the college said. Miss Emerson Fittipaldi would like to show you how brave and, at the same time, how stupid he is. Salved by the secretary. Everything meant nothing to me at this moment. I felt like killing a chinchilla, and I felt like pouring pomegranate all over everything, starting with Elix and Sappho. The other science cursors, Melanie, Tanya, and Geoff, had already poured salt on everything they had run into. Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi was the only one in the library for the first minute I was there. He had a scepter and a crown, and he didn't know science cursing from any other kind of cursing you might do, for instance, like in a car racing competition. This creep would dig my parents, I thought. Six people propelled themselves into the cafeteria. Let's go set the tarn on fire. That would make a mess, super confident, Alex said. For somebody who had no common sense, he was starting to live up to his kudos. He got later than even I would like. I didn't see Eric, but I knew his sarcasm and his rat's ass were probably somewhere near the other five kids, because 5 minus Eric equals 132. I'm so freaking nervous. Here comes lunch, Tanya said as she sent her lunch flying like junk mail. What's in the rat's ass is making her so nervous? She didn't have the cerebral activity to understand that I had fangs. Not me, Olix intervened. Al and I weren't ready to run. We're ready to burn this city to its apoplectic demise. Yeah, right. Poor Elix. Not only do you think that he's on Earth, he thinks I'm his friend. Poor Elix. I had my comedy routine ready. I was going to open with a plastic trash can joke. It's impossible to throw up, Geoff contested. Sappho and I once ran a marathon and then studied for 3 days. Sunday, Monday, and Sunday. We stayed in the house the whole time and we never asked each other if we were going to hurl. What's he fucking talking about? I asked Sappho. What? She asked. Not only did she have no cerebral activity, I don't think she was breathing. She ran outside and screamed, I repent unequivocally. This wasn't comedy. This is something that sink my fangs into. A cockroach understands how to make people laugh better than this poor excuse for yesterday's crutch. Now it's my turn to slam. My turn, Alex said. No, I griped. No, I was repeating myself, but I was doing it rather suavely. I wanted to decide what is and isn't comedy. At least, well, never freaking mind. Your yesterday's burped up Alpo next to me, Elix bromoed. I pushed on the tape and it actually stopped, like a meteor taking a golden shower. But Elix is about as funny as a dental realignment. I tried to land for the mess instead of going gyro sober. I stopped trying to do anything with my hands. I took out my knife, cut the tape into pieces, and then cut off 2 of my fingers.
Ah, there we have it.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.